them. Anyway, I'm going to get right into the message. Isaiah chapter 53 this morning. If you would, stand for the reading of God's Word, if you're able to. Isaiah chapter 53, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 5. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 5. Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse number 1, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted." And in verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." Amen. This morning I want to preach to you a message entitled, "Freedom is not free." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day that you've given to us. Lord, we're so grateful we get to come together and the freedom to do so. Lord, we thank you for the people that are here this morning, Lord, that want to worship you. We thank you for the song service that we've already heard. We thank you for the praises that we're able to give to you, Lord. And I pray that you'll be with those who couldn't be here today. You know the reason why. I pray that you'll bring them back to us at the next appointed time. Lord, I pray that you'll just be with the service this morning. I pray that everything that is said will be honoring and glorifying to you. And Lord, I pray now if there's someone here that does not know for sure where they would go when they pass from this life, I pray that they would get that settled this morning. Lord, help them not leave this place without knowing for sure where they're going to go. And Lord, we give this time to you. We pray that you would just speak to hearts, Lord, as you have spoken to mine. Lord, we pray for the message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you be seated? The Revolutionary War, or as it's better known as the American Revolution, arose from the growing tensions between residents of Great Britain's 13 North American colonies and the colonial government, which represented the British Crown. Tensions between the British and the colonial Minutemen in Lexington and Concord in 1775 kicked off the armed conflict, as we would know as the American Revolution. For more than a decade before the outbreak of the American Revolution, tensions had been building between the colonists and the British authorities. The French and Indian War, or better known as the Seven Years' War, brought new territories under the power and of the crown. But the conflict led to the unpopular taxes, attempts by the British government to raise revenue, as we see, we know as the Stamp Act of 1765, the Tea Act of 1773. It was a heated conflict, but by June of 1776, the Revolutionary War was in full swing. A growing majority of colonists had had come to favor independence from Britain. And on July 4th of 1776, the Continental Congress voted to adopt what we know as the Declaration of Independence. It was drafted by a 5-man committee, including Benjamin Franklin and John Adams, but it was mainly written by Thomas Jefferson. That same month, determined to crush the rebellion, the British government sent a large fleet along with of more than 34,000 troops to New York. In August, the British routed the army on Long Island. George Washington was forced to evacuate his troops from New York City by September. They pushed across the Delaware River. Washington fought back with a surprise attack in New Jersey. And on Christmas night, he won another victory in Princeton and revived the rebels' hopes before making winter quarters in Morristown. Now we go through, and I'm giving them a little bit of a history lesson here. Great Britain in 1783 recognized the independence of the United States in the Treaty of Paris. At the same time, British signed separate peace treaties with France and Spain, which had ended the conflict in 1779, bringing the American Revolution to a close after 8 long years. And today we sit in the 246th year of our independence. Praise the Lord. And yet we go year after year as we take these freedoms for granted. You see, we live in a society today that is trying to take away our freedoms. And this morning, I would like to remind us about those freedoms and what true freedom is. You see, by the way, not only do we have freedoms with of our country, but we have a spiritual freedom. And I'm so thankful for the spiritual freedom. And I believe this passage, which shows that our freedom is not free. By the way, there was a great price paid for our freedoms. But this morning, I want to give you this freedom is not free. I want you to look, number one, at the presence of freedom. Look in verse 1 of our scripture, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1 through 2. It says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness, nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." The Savior's coming has been predicted, but the prophecy had been rejected. Time and again, God had foretold that he would send the Messiah into the world. But very few believed the prophecies. They denied that God could or even would use his power, which in this verse says arms, to do such a thing as send a Savior to the world. Or else they denied in need of a Savior, believing that people were capable and wise enough to meet the needs of their own needs. Thus, the prophecies concerning a coming Savior was rejected. His coming as a baby was totally rejected. It was rejected, therefore, it was totally unexpected, therefore, it was too rejected. The people expected the Son of David, a descendant of a great king, that would free the Jewish state from all its oppressors to make one of the greatest nations that the world has ever known. The Jews expected the Messiah to come a great power and great majesty, anticipating that he would immediately set them free from their captivity and oppression. Now, Jesus grew up in God's care, like a tender root, as it says in this verse, in verse 2. "He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no comeliness or no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." He grew up, and it says there, out of a dry ground. That is, it was humble and little known about his family. Look, Jesus could have come. He could have come and have been out of the royal family. He could have come and it could have been a good introduction, if you were. But it says he come out of a dry ground. It was the humble and little known about his family. There's nothing appealing or to draw attention to Jesus' family. He was born of a carpenter's home. He was his environment, his contrary of birth. Most people expected the Messiah to be attractive and a great person, someone who would stir the hearts of the people who saw him. But the scripture says in verse 26 that he was not physically attractive. He did not have the charismatic personality that naturally drew people to him. He didn't. Nothing about his appearance was striking or majestic. Nothing about him made him any different from any other person. In an outward appearance, Jesus would look as an average, ordinary man. That he would fit into a crowd, never attracting attention. Now today, we have the freedoms that we have, and we are taking them for granted. The United States of America was founded on a Christian nation. It was founded as a Christian nation. And through the years, it has turned from its Christian roots. The founding fathers would be turning over their graves if they saw what we are allowing in our country this morning. 246 years ago, they would not have imagined that we would allow same-sex marriages. 246 years ago, they would not have known that we'd be killing innocent babies. But yet, here we are. Can I tell you the key to spiritual freedom this morning? Is here this morning. And that is God, Jesus Christ. He is the key to spiritual freedom. Surely the presence of the Lord is in our place, as the old song used to say. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. God is in the presence, in our presence this morning. He is the true spiritual freedom. The only way to get through this life and have freedom spiritually is through Him. You see, the presence of spiritual freedom is here. And if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, today can be the day. You know, it doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter what your background is or what if you think you're a good person or not. It is not enough. Jesus will save you this morning. The presence of freedom is here. Look, we were here Friday for the memorial service. Man, what a great service that was. Look, the gospel was presented in a clear, plain way. But can I tell you, it was rejected. There was people there here that rejected the gospel, the true message. But can I tell you this morning that there are people that are against our freedoms? That leads me to number two. The people are against our freedoms. Look in verse 3 of our scripture reference. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as if it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. You see, in 1775, the Americans, back then they were known as the rebels, were facing the British. The British were fighting against the rebels because the rebels wanted freedom. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, it says, we are told that the Savior's coming as a man of sorrow was rejected. This very thought of his suffering for the human race was unacceptable to people. People dismissed the idea that they were so sinful that they needed a Savior that to make them acceptable to God, and that they were so sinful that God had to send His Son to die on the cross for their sins. There are people this morning that don't want freedom. They don't want spiritual freedom. We have people in our nation that don't want freedom this morning. You look at our government today, they're trying to take away our rights. They're trying to take away the freedoms that our founding fathers had put on this country 246 years ago. Let me read you something out of the Declaration of Independence. By the way, if you do not have a copy of the Declaration of Independence, I encourage you to get one. You need to know your rights. You need to know what this nation was founded on. And it's interesting when you read back in the Constitution of the United States and of the Declaration of Independence, you could see it's got the Bible all in it. It's spiritual. Can I tell you that these documents, other than the Bible, are the most revered documents in the world. They have been rejected. People are trying to purge from. They're trying to take away those things. The Bible is number one, but these two are a close second and third. Now I want you to read. I want you to listen as I read the amendments to the Constitution. I'm not going to read all of them, but I want you to listen to even the first one. It says, Congress shall make no law representing an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government of the redress of grievances. That's being taken away today, is it not? People say you don't have the free exercise you don't have the freedom of speech. But I want you to listen also in the Declaration of Independence, how it starts out. It says, when in the course of a human event, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station of which the law of nature and of the nature's God entitled them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the cause which impelled them to the separation. We hold to these truths to be self-evident that all men
are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to ensure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying the foundation of such principles, the organizing of the powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely effective to their safety and happiness. You see, this morning, there are people that are taking away our rights. And it says right there that we ought to abolish our authorities because they are taking away our freedoms. But yet people don't do it. You know why? Because people don't want freedom. They don't want them. It's sad this morning that we live in a nation that wants to take away our rights. Look, there are countries across this world that would love to be in our position. They would love to have the freedoms that we have because they are under communism. They are under these laws that you can't meet freely as a church. But yet here we are and we're taking our freedoms for granted that we're able to meet this morning. But you see, not only are we taking away taking for granted those freedoms, we're taking for granted what we have as Christians. People don't even want spiritual freedom this morning. To a variety of people, the cross and all it represents, the blood, the gore, the suffering, are repulsive, making Christianity a bloody religion. In their minds, individuals become acceptable to God by good works. Doing what is acceptable, or what they think is best throughout their life. They believe that if they do enough good works, they can be acceptable by God in the final analogy. God would never reject them. As a result, they reject the idea that that Jesus dying on the cross for their sins for the human race. They've rejected it. Can I tell you this morning, there are people against freedom. There's people against our freedom as a country, and there's also people against the freedom of the Bible. They're against our spiritual freedom. And can I tell you this morning, there are people against us. The world is against you and me. But don't let that discourage you. Don't let that discourage you because, as the song says, we are on the winning side. I believe we are on the winning side. You know, one day Jesus is going to come back, and we're going to see that all those who have rejected us cry and plead that they want to go to heaven too. But look, they've rejected him. There's people that are against us. I want you to see number three, the price for freedom. And we're going to park here for a little bit. The price for freedom. Look at verses 4 and 5 of our scripture. I love this passage. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. You know, by the end of the Revolutionary War, over 6,800 Americans were killed in action. 6,100 were wounded and upwards of about 20,000 were taken prisoner. Historians believe that there was an additional 17,000 deaths that resulted in disease, including about 8,000 to 10,000 who died while prisoners of war. Can I tell you the price? There is a price for freedom. You ever heard the phrase, nothing is for free? You know, you can't get anything for free. You know, people try to say, oh, this is all free. No, there's always a price for it. But there is a price for freedom this morning. There's always a price for something. You know, if I were to give one of you a $5 bill, you know, it's free to you. But can I tell you, it costs something. What did it cost? It cost me $5. I gave it freely to you and you took it freely, but it cost me something. You see, can I tell you that the freedom of our country costs thousands of people's lives. It did. And we ought to be grateful for those who paid the price so that we could have the freedoms that we have this morning. But even more so than that, for our spiritual freedom, so that we could one day have eternal life in heaven, there was a price that had to be paid for our spiritual freedom. And it was paid by one man, one God, as he came down 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. Jesus paid the price so that we could have everlasting life. If we just simply accept it. I'm grateful that we don't have to do anything else to be saved. The only thing we have to do is to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. But yet so many people in our country today are living with the lie that you have to do things in order to obtain salvation. You have to be a good person. You have to do good things. You have to just whatever the case may be. Or you can even lose your salvation. But the Bible says clearly that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's settled once and for all. And I'm thankful this morning that there was a price that was paid for my freedom. You know, this morning, there's a great price. Freedom is not free. And you know, there's a lot of times that I take it for granted. And I'm sure you have too. There have been times where we've taken our freedoms for granted. You know, we get up each and every day and we get out of bed, we go have breakfast and whatnot, and we drive to work if you have a job, or if you, you know, you just go in throughout your day. But we forget to thank God for what He's given to us. We forget to thank God that He gave us another day on this earth. We forget to thank God for the meals that we have. We forget to thank God that we're able to drive to work or to even work. We forget to thank God, most importantly, for the salvation that He's given to us, for those who believe. I've been guilty of this time and time again, to forget to thank the Lord that He paid that ultimate price for me. But I'm forever grateful for it. I'm so thankful this morning that the price has been paid, and it's been paid in full. You know, it's not just been partially paid. You know how some bills you have may be partially paid? This has been paid in full. Praise the Lord. It's signed, sealed, delivered. It's over with. And I'm grateful this morning for my salvation, that I don't have to, that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that one day I'm going to see my Savior face to face. And if you're here and you believe that and you know that you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, your sins have been covered. Some of you may say, that sounds too good to be true. It's what this book says. It's what God says. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior. Can I tell you that you can do so before you leave this place? You say, well, Brother Matthew, I've been raised in church all my life. I have a good heritage where I have come to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I have done everything that I believe a Christian should do. But, you know, people will judge me if they know that I'm not saved. Can I tell you this morning, there is no one in this room that would judge you if you come forward. We would all rejoice if we just one were to come. All heaven rejoices, that's the value of one. I love that song. And that is the truth today. If you are here and you're just maybe intimidated by coming forward, look, can I tell you that everyone here would rejoice if you were to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He'll accept you. You say, well, He'll never accept me. Jesus can take you just as you are. And I'm so grateful He takes me just as I am. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Look, this morning, we're talking about the freedom. It wasn't free. The freedom for this nation, the people that died and that are buried in the graveyards today laid down their life so that we could have what we have this morning. But there is one that laid down his life that gave us the true freedom.